Dior Talks. Welcome to the Dior Talks podcast series dedicated to the 8th edition of Dior Lady Art, hosted by Paris-based journalist Katia Foreman. For this highly anticipated edition, 12 artists from around the world were invited to transform the iconic Lady Dior handbag into a unique work of art. Known for her colourful, lush, light and airy botanical paintings, our latest guest artist, Michele Yearwood-Dan, much like Monsieur Dior in his time, has a passion for flora and fauna. Through her visually striking abstract works, the multifaceted British artist questions norms and celebrates singularities, recounting the present through a reading of the past. Switching scales, for Dior Lady Art, the London-based artist wanted to immortalise a site-specific curved mural she made in 2022 for a new LGBTQ+ art hub created by Queer Circle London. Titled Let Me Hold You, the monumental work, which covered the entire space, symbolised holding the community, creating a sense of sanctuary for visitors. Playing with texture, patterning, fabrics and beading, and incorporating her signature collage technique, the artist transposed parts of the mural onto two unprecedented versions of the Lady Dior handbag. Using Dior's savoir-faire of excellence, precious embroideries reproduced the effects of materials adorning the artist's paintings, including ceramic pansy petals, reinterpreted as metal adornments, punctuating one of the exceptional models in a poetic deep blue shade. The emblematic Dior charms are in turn revisited, sometimes in deep black, sometimes embellished with a leaf. Odes to the beauty of gestures play out in a powerful yet delicate universe imbued with messages of love and acceptance. Tune into the episode to learn more about the artist's fascinating world. Today, on the Dior Talk series dedicated to the 8th edition of Dior Lady Art, we connect with Michele Yearwood-Dan in London to hear about the stories and inspirations behind her Lady Dior handbags, transposing elements from a giant botanical mural she created for an LGBTQ+ art hub in London, wrapping the space like a sanctuary. Good morning. Welcome to the Dior Lady Art podcast.
Good morning.
Where are you calling in from this morning? Are you calling in from your art studio?
Yes. Yeah, my studio in London.
Okay.
It's very cold.
It's freezing, is it? So the heating's not working?
Yeah. What's happened, but our lovely Gianni is working on it.
Okay. And where's the studio located in London?
It's currently in Finsbury Park, but I should be moving soon, closer to home in Hackney.
Right, so. Okay. And what can you see around you, just so we can picture you?
Around me, I've got a few paintings on the go, ceramic that I finished, building last week. And yeah, that's about it. My computer screen, I've finished work, and lots of rubbish on my desk.
Okay. So tell us, when did you get into working with ceramics? You started out as a painter.
Yeah, when did I get into it? I mean, mainly during the pandemic, those very early days of the pandemic, I started taking a course and it was about a 12-week course. And on week two, they had to close down operations. Mm. So that was really around that time. And embarked on self-teaching myself how to hand build from my flat in London, and the hobby that kept me sane became something that was embedded within my practice.
And you tend to integrate ceramics on your work. Tell us a bit about your universe.
Yeah, so that's been, I would say, a recent development. So over the past kind of year and a half, year or so, my whole practice feels very recent in comparison to all the artists that I, of course, admire. Yeah, my paintings are kind of like abstract dreamscapes almost. They take a lot of influence from landscape and the botanical world, but they aren't really of anything specific. They more exist to kind of evoke a mood or capture a feeling. So I explore multiple different themes within the work that I make, from things around my femininity, my blackness, queerness, as well as love being quite a predominant theme, and often at times lots of different sort of political things will arise within them, but mostly they kind of exist as almost like diary entries. And then making the ceramics was something that felt very separate to the paintings. So I really wanted to find a way to bring them both together within one completed work. And I was looking a lot at queer botany, and I play with language a lot in my work. So right. I was also looking at the sort of the use of language around talking about queer people historically through queer culture. There's a big connection with language, queerness, and botany. So I was taking motifs from these periods. So I made a lot of works that used ceramic petals as sort of emblems, sort of like queer garnishing almost on the paintings. So I was making a lot of green carnation, singular petals that were adorned within the works, in reference to these small green pins that gay men would wear during kind of like dandy British period, to signify that they were like they were gay, very discreetly. People like Oscar Wilde, for instance. And then the one that I really enjoyed was pansy petals. Like, making them just was very, as like a tactile thing, like very enjoyable. And yeah, so pansies was used as a slur towards gay men, still is, especially in America. But of course, the language like that isn't really reserved for one geographical spot. So I started making these ceramic pansy petals that kind of flourishly sprinkled onto these paintings. That's sort of how I then was able to bridge the two together. And
the pansy code is something that was also reinterpreted in one of your bags.
Exactly, yeah.
Just to go back to this, your passion for the botanical world, this is something also, one of the codes of the House of Dior. Is that something that you explored? Did you get to do much research around the codes of the House of Dior?
Yeah, I mean, I did the sort of brief research online, but luckily when I visited Paris in January this year, when we were still within the design process, I was super fortunate, myself and my partner, to get a private tour around the Dior Museum. So I got to learn so much about the house, and, you know, there's things that I already knew, things that I remember from my childhood. You know, I'm a millennial, so there's things that I remember, and the different lead designers of the brand. But it was really interesting to really get a sense of the history and, you know, where my practice and these like core features of the House of Dior kind of crossed over. Because, you know, obviously me quite early in my career was a bit like, why do they want me to do this? Why does Dior want me to collaborate on a project with them that feels bizarre?
The clouds parted and the finger pointed at you. It's very exciting. So what kind of connections did you have? You just talked about some of the crossovers. When it came to designing your bag, did you incorporate some references to Dior, or did you want to focus on your world?
Well, I think I was focusing more on my world in the very like kind of obvious sense that the bags look very similar to my paintings. But what I understood from Dior, and what I kind of understand from my own work is a very serious understanding of the importance of meticulous technique, I guess. I don't really cut corners with how I work. Like, for instance, we're talking about these petals. I could probably get them made. I could get them pre-manufactured somewhere else, but there's something very important about each one being done by hand. And, you know, with Dior and its amazing workshops where everything is hand-embroidered, hand-beaded, and that very clear importance in this sort of like hand-finished element of the designs felt very important to me also. Oh, yes. So it was quite great to sort of like take work of mine and give it the kind of like Dior treatment, so to speak.
Yeah.
And use these motifs that I've already created and apply a Dior finish to them, adding in embroidery, adding in these, you know, I love collage work, and my work, even though they're paintings, I kind of think of them as collages when I'm in the making process of the different layers that go on top of each other, different sort of these small sections that feel like these kind of appliqued motifs that will hop from painting to painting and repeat themselves, and a very clear, distinctive language. And I think that's what Dior also does. So it, for me, it was just making sure that it felt like Dior, but also like me.
Right.
So yeah, we did that. So we've got different fabrics layered on top of each other, as well as these really, really cool like silicone rods that all cut at different lengths. So the way that the fabric, this like texture, this pattern moves across, almost feels like a mountain range when you look at it sort of on its side. Which brings in this sort of extra kind of like otherworldly botanical element. Like I said, when I'm making my work, I am thinking a lot about the mood of the piece and invoking an emotion. So, you know, even if it's a ceramic to a painting, I like the idea that they feel like they're all done by the same hand. And that's kind of how the bag felt to me. It felt very authentically true to me, but also very true to Dior as a house. And now I'm waffling.
And what about the Lady Dior? Because it's not every day you get asked to apply your art to a handbag. Did you sit with the bag for a while? And also tell us about the piece that you chose to transpose onto this object.
So I am the kind of person who, luxury brands for me were the thing of magazines. I have never ever bought anything designer, and I just didn't even know what to do in terms of like, where do I begin? And I sort of found myself about the time, you know, I had to go to Miami and as New York, and I would just be like, do you know what? I'm going to go find the Dior store in the airport.
Yeah.
I'm in Terminal 5 looking at all the bags and picking them up. And they're probably the people in the shop just looking at me like I'm a bit bizarre. and that's how I remember one trip. I was going to Barbados with my aunt and my cousin. And I was just like, we've got to go to the Dior store. And they're kind of like, what are you going to buy in Dior? I'll tell you when we get there. No, I was like, when we get there, I'll tell you why. And I was just like, right. So I'm designing. I was just, you know, of my family. So I was like, I'm designing one of these bags. Oh. They're just like, what's going on?
My goodness.
So I was like, I need to look at them because I've never really held one. And then I remember being like, they're very nice and weighty. Okay. So that means I can do X, Y, Z, because if they're very weighty, then they can hold an adornment of beads and, you know, whatnot. And I just think the first designer bag that I'm ever going to get is one that I designed with Dior, and that's hilarious.
It's pretty special.
It's very special. I'm pinching myself.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, yeah, just to get the story behind the work. I think it was a mural, right?
So so I've done two bags, and the first one was based on a mural that I did for the opening of a space in Greenwich, London, called Queer Circle, which is this incredible space started by a now friend of mine, Ashley Joyner. And it's set to be a cultural arts space for queer community. And then there's a gallery space. And when he invited me to do the show, I think he probably thought that I was going to just submit some canvases and it was very straightforward. And it's like, I want to make a big, massive mural on a curved wall that wraps around the space and has a seating ledge that people can walk across. And I think he looked at me like, oh, God.
You're like, go big or go home.
Yeah. As an artist, there are these moments, I think, where you kind of evaluate what your practice means and stands for, especially when you start receiving kind of like commercial acclamation for everything. And for me, art was always something about being able to share it with as many people as possible and for many people to experience it. And, you know, the kind of humble beginnings that I'm from, not everyone really understands art and doesn't really feel welcome to go into gallery spaces. And I was thinking about the area that the space was in, and I wanted people to feel like they could really like touch and interact with the work, which is something that people know you're not allowed to do with painting. So I wanted to basically create this thing which felt like almost like a gift to the space, which was intentional, and it was up for 3 months. And throughout time, you know, the children were invited to come and they were able to walk along the ledge and they're able to touch the painting. And across the bottom of the work was a quote from Paris is Burning, the queer documentary about sort of voguing culture in New York in the 80s. It said, there's a future where there are a lot of beautiful things. It was something along that line. And I thought, especially for the time in which it's being made so soon after the pandemic, so present within a world of increasing homophobic attacks and, you know, constant attacks on the trans community, I wanted to put a positive message forward. So the bag is based on sections of this piece. And so I'm sort of like looking at the high-res images and building textures and different reliefs from this work. And then the second one was based on the dark paintings, the black paintings, and then the kind of more lofty, pastely works. And so then I did the smaller Lady Dior bag from one of the darker paintings, which included the pansy petals. So they both have very conscious nods to queer culture and the queer community, as well as being these kind of beautiful objects, wearable objects.
How did you interpret the pansies for the bag?
So I gave the design team a couple of my ceramic petals, and they went away and turned them into metal charms. They're literally direct replicas.
And Christian Dior was a gallerist before becoming a couturier. Maria Grazia Curie has collaborated with a lot of feminist artists. What do you think art can bring to fashion?
I mean, I think they work hand in hand. I think they constantly influence each other. To fashion, art brings, it brings freedom, and I guess like the kind of the ambition to be free. I think fashion, in a way, a bit like cooking versus baking. You know, there are a lot more, it feels like there are a lot more rules because something has to be worn on a body, and there's like a way of doing things that people expect. But then with art, I think there is this idea that you are meant to sort of push those boundaries. And I think fashion does that in a way that I think it maybe got that, the sort of power to do that from art. And then I think art also takes from fashion, I suppose, like the colours and sort of seeing how something moves. And for me, I kind of look at fashion shows, and when I see the way that a garment moves and I think of the materiality, I think about how I can apply that to the work that I make, even though they are these sort of, for me personally, they are these like stationary things that don't move. But I often think about the way that like colours work together and the movement that brings together in fashion and its kind of performance element. You know, that, you know, a fashion show is just performance art, essentially. I think they're basically the same thing, quite frankly. Fashion and art, they're one and the same. You just wear one.
And do you see yourself as a feminist artist?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely a feminist. I see myself as an artist, and, you know, I'm a queer artist, I'm a black artist, I'm a feminist artist, I'm, you know, a femme artist, but in life in general, I'm a feminist, and I couldn't really imagine being any other way.
And you described being invited to participate on the Dior Lady Art Project as a bit of a pinch me moment. What was your favourite part of this experience?
I think going to Paris and getting to see Dior runway show up close and personal was incredible.
So you got to attend a show?
Yeah, in January in Paris. And Thomas had designed the set, and it had these amazing black female icons embroidered onto the walls. And it was an insane amount of craftsmanship went into the set alone, and then all the clothes were outstanding. It was my first time getting to go to a sort of like high luxury design house's show.
How was it for you? What was the atmosphere like?
It was great. I mean, I was sat with Sonia Boyce and her daughters, who I know, and in front of Robert Pattinson's mum and his sisters, which was quite nice. And we just had a nice chat, and around the same, near the same area that I grew up in London. So we were just having a nice little, this group of Southwest London women, including Sonia Boyce, all of us just chatting about the area. And, you know, I was obviously celeb spotting. And it was fantastic. I had a great time. And being in Paris during that time was remarkable. Like, I had been to Paris a couple of weeks beforehand for my anniversary with my partner. But before that, I hadn't been to Paris since I was 14 on the French exchange in school.
That must have been
for quite some time. Yeah. These things of these, like, I made it moments always for me just feel like little pinch me, how ridiculous is this kind of moment? And I worry about a day when they feel totally normal, because
stay grounded, keep grounded.
I
so the I final piece is just to wrap. Do they feel they reflect your universe?
Yeah, totally. I feel really proud of them. I'm just really excited for them to be out in the world and people to be able to purchase them and wear them and see them in stores. And, you know, I'm very happy with them.